Name something that gets passed around.
A joint.
A joint.
Legalized marijuana is always a very difficult question.
The time is long overdue for us to remove the federal prohibition on marijuana.
From now on, I smoke weed exclusively with white people.
Well, I'm getting higher next time.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man, the Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
There's definitely cannabis in there, and it makes sure that I can sleep now.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Don't piss off your old dealer.
Marijuana is not the kind of thing that ought to be legalized.
I know you're not supposed to admit that you smoke pot, but I don't drink alcohol.
Let's get out of here. I have some really good weed back at the hotel.
I used to smoke marijuana.
I don't care if an adult wants to smoke marijuana. They shouldn't go to prison for it either.
Yeah, I wish you really believed that. Welcome back, everybody. It's Toker Talk Radio. I'm Radical Russ, hanging out here in beautiful Legal Potland, Oregon, where I had a really great guest joining me earlier today before the show. It was my friends Mike and Tawny Booten. You will remember Mike for sure, definitely Mike and Tawny, from the Discovery Channel television show, the reality show Weed Country, where they followed various Northern California Emerald Triangle growers. Well, Mike was that guy on Weed Country. So we're fishing buddies. We got to hang out with Bobby Platshorn out in Florida and go on a couple of fishing trips out on the Atlantic with him. And whenever he's in the Pacific Northwest, he stops by. Whenever I'm in Northern California, I see if I can hit him up and see what's happening. And it's great to get to talk to him because he, far more than I, knows about the whole being a media guy, being in the public eye. He has haters just like I have haters, so we can kind of discuss haterade. Although he's got far bigger profile than I do, you know, having been on a national very popular marijuana reality show and all. He's like, yeah, I can't go anywhere. People know who I am. They see, you know, like, yeah, I know how you feel. It's kind of weird, isn't it? So we had a lot of great discussions earlier today. Want to thank him for stopping by and for his support of Delta 9 House and Studios. We just had our second set of guests check out today. Couple of great guys from Stanford University who came up north here to enjoy some Portland. They're on their way to Seattle right now. And one of the students, a pre-med student from Nigeria by way of Jordan. So that was cool. We got to talk some international politics, and that was very, very interesting to get his perspective on stuff. Did help me to realize how old I am. These young men keep going, well, thank you, sir. Oh, yes, sir. Well, thank you, sir. They were very polite. Thank you, sir. Yes, sir. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm a sir now. I'm old enough to be a sir. Damn it. Had a great breakfast, too. We got the new waffle maker cranked up. Had some blueberry waffles, real maple syrup. Mmm. Check it out. If you'd like to be a part of this, if you'd like to follow along, see what's happening here at Delta 9 House and Studios, we got a Facebook page now. It's at facebook.com/Delta 9 House. That's the number 9, the digit, right? Facebook.com/Delta 9 House. And if you're going to be coming up here to the Pacific Northwest, we got 2 rooms for rent right here at the studios, and we make breakfast for you. I'm a badass breakfast cook these days, making some good stuff. So check it out, Delta 9 House and Studios. Get booked for the summer because those rooms are filling up fast. I'm pretty shocked at how fast this is taking off. So thanks for helping support this, being a part of it. Also, huge shout out goes to our supporters at the Fingerboard Extension in Corvallis, Oregon, who have renewed their annual advertising for the Russ Belville Show. And we really, really appreciate that. Thank you. The timing couldn't have been better, I got to say. And if you are in the Corvallis area, if you're in Oregon and you're interested in fretted instruments, you want to pick one up, you want to buy a guitar, you want to send someone out to get one fixed, make sure you think of the Fingerboard Extension. Got to make my way down to Corvallis one of these days and visit. I need to buy a new bass, as a matter of fact. It doesn't have to be new. I could use a used bass, but considering that my current bass is a 6-string bass that I bought used in 1994, maybe it's time I got a new bass. So I'm looking for like a four-string Fender would be nice. Maybe a P bass would be kind of nice. So, or a Jazz. I don't know. We'll check it out. But I'm thinking of going back to a four-string. Might be kind of fun. All right. That's enough about me. Let's get into what's happening here in hour two. We've got all sorts of stories to talk about. First of all, a great bit of research coming out of the University of British Columbia identifying the genetics, identifying the specific genes that make up the terpenes in the cannabis plant. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We've also got a story coming out of Colorado that shows one of these unintended consequences of marijuana legalization, and that is how it affects employment in the service industry. That's kind of fascinating. We've also got to look back at the state of Ohio, where the governor there, John Kasich, thinks that medical marijuana has no place in helping to solve the opiate epidemic. God, I can't wait for these guys in 2 or 3 years to have to eat their words when they've been proven so wrong. Also, we'll talk a little bit about what's going on with Trump and Russia. And as my chat room says, the smell of Watergate is in the air. Yep, sure is, folks. Those who do not learn from their history are doomed to repeat it. Looks like we're getting to repeat it right now. Gonna take a break. We're back right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
I wish my tire had blown out that night. I wish my car had skidded off the road. I wish I'd broken my neck. I wish I'd been crippled. But I didn't crash. I drove to that party, and I did meth for the first time. I did meth, and now this is my life. This is my life.
This has been the Russ Belville Show's anti-drug public service announcement of the day, exclusively on RadicalRuss.com.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
Shena, yo Hector David, PKA the Dirtball, Vizca Raka, Hila Tiden, Alla Or.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
This is Cannabis Facts from Robert Platschorn's TheSilverTour.org. Supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., poised to lead America's hemp revolution at HempInc.com. In 1937, the second most prescribed medicine, marijuana, was banned. It wasn't about marijuana. The paper, oil, and chemical industries lobbied to end hemp farming. No longer labor-intensive, an acre of hemp produced more quality paper than 4 acres of trees. Plastics and fibers could be produced from a plant. Hemp can even produce 10 times the energy of today's ethanol. As marijuana prohibition ends, many states now allow farmers to again grow hemp. This was Cannabis Facts from TheSilverTour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to process America's hemp crop at HempInc.com.
Warning, it's taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that. This is Dan Michaels from DanMichaelsAudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. 10 after the hour here in beautiful Legal Potland, Oregon, where spring has sprung. We're beginning to see the appearance in our sky of this bright yellow disc. It's the damnedest thing. It's this bright yellow disc comes up in the east and then it goes down in the west, and it seems to radiate this energy, this brightness that warms all living things. I've heard it called the sun. Yeah, it's so rare that we see it around here. So it's really nice to get some sunshine. Oh, spring has sprung here in Portland, Oregon, and the flowers are blooming. Let me tell you, speaking of blooming flowers, one of the greatest parts of blooming flowers is the wonderful smell that we get from the blooming flowers. And earlier today, Mike Booten was here from the Discovery Show Weed Country. Also, check if you want to do some rafting, you ought to check out Weed Country Adventures, Mike and Tawny's whitewater rafting company, because they're very 420 friendly on that. So check that out, Weed Country Adventures. But he got to talking about how some people, when it comes to the cultivation of cannabis in these in these towns, some of the squares get upset because of the smell. They get all upset. They go to their city councilman, they go to the county commission, say, oh my God, the smell of marijuana smells like a skunk. It's disgusting. It physically sickened me. It was so pungent. It put me under the influence without my permission. It was so disgusting, the smell of marijuana. Oh my God. Now, every time I hear that bleating from these people, I recall that I grew up in Nampa, Idaho, on the north side of town, where the smell from the sugar beet factory, especially around harvest time and processing time, was to make you gag. It was awful. And other folks, you've lived by, let's say, a paper plant on a river, perhaps. You've lived near a coal, you know, anything kind of power plants. You've lived near a cattle, you know, dairy farm or something like that. There's some stinky stuff out there that's perfectly legal, and all of us have to just deal with it. But it was fun talking to him about this, because Mike points out that there was this council meeting, this county council meeting that he went to, Trinity County, where these people had been complaining. Some of the people who had been complaining about, oh, the smell, it makes me sick, it forced me to the hospital, it put me under the influence. He talks about how he had gone to one of these council meetings and brought with him a square foot of canopy. He brought a square foot of pot plants, mature pot plants, so he could kind of explain what is a square foot, you know, of canopy, right? And they were some pungent plants, right? They were mature, flowering, nice aroma pot plants. He brings them in to the council, right? Everybody can smell them. He does his testimony and talks about the testimony, right? Here's a square foot and what a square foot's like, and here's the plants, blah, blah, blah. Does his thing. And then days later, follows up and asks, like, the county poison control and, like, the county hospitals and all that kind of stuff, did anyone complain from that meeting about the smell of the plants making them sick? Did anyone check in because they were under the influence because of the smell? He's like, Mike's telling me, he's like, you know, it's not like I intended to be so smart about it or to have a gotcha moment, but I just got to thinking about it. All these people that were complaining about how pungent and terrible the pot plants were, I bring them into the county meeting. Nobody walked out of the meeting. It was apparently not so pungent that it was making them sick. I'm like, yeah, that's a good point, man. That's a good point. But of course, what's making the pungent aroma that we get from cannabis are the terpenes. And this is becoming much more of a concern and an issue for consumers, is the basically the terpene profiles of these strains and the different products, and how the terpenes translate in the concentration process. Because now that's something we can concentrate on. Back in the day, really the only thing you were concentrating on was THC. You're buying an illegal product on an underground market where the chance, you know, this may be the next weed. This may be the only weed you get from now till the next time. And who knows when the next time's coming. This may be all you get before the drought. So it's in your best interest. You want to get the most bang for your buck. You're going to get, hey, I need the stuff that really kicks some ass. And from the seller's point of view in the underground market, what has he got to market with? He has no advertising. He has no real word of mouth except for among his little underground circle. You know, it's not like people just go to their, you know, break room at work and say, hey, I bought the greatest weed from a guy last night. Right? He doesn't get that kind of word of mouth. Like somebody, hey, I, you know, this friend of mine makes great cakes. Right? People aren't going to talk like that about weed. So he's got no advertising. He's got no marketing. He's got no packaging other than the Ziploc baggie. So in the underground market, the only thing you got to sell off of is the potency. Is the dude X has the bomb. That guy's got the badass weed. And we've seen the results of that. We've seen it lead to a massive increase in the THC content of our plants, but also a massive decrease in the CBD content and a lack of distinguishing much about the terpenes. It's been, the plant has been bred for the looks and the potency. We bred it. We want to have it. We want to see those crystally trichomes, man. We want to see those crystally trichomes. We want to see the purple. We want to see some red hairs. We want a thick, compact bud. We want it to be pungent odor. And we want it to pack a punch. But now that marijuana is becoming increasingly legalized, you don't have to go for the most potent thing because you do have choices and there will be access tomorrow and the next day and the next day. So now we can start differentiating it. We are starting to see now the introduction of lower THC cultivars specifically to satisfy a market that wants a light buzz, that wants to be able to have a joint they can smoke during the day and not get totally couch locked and still be able to get stuff done. A kind of a kind of marijuana that you never could sell on the black market. Hey man, I got some great 8% THC weed. Nobody's going to go for that on the underground market. They want the most bang for the buck. But when you've got a whole glass counter full of different strains to choose from, you might choose a lower strain. And now you can start choosing based on what is the terpene content? What is the mixture? What is the ratio? What works best for me? And to help this along, we get this story out of PLOS-1, one of the journals. University of British Columbia researchers are identifying the genes behind terpenes. And according to this study, they found about 30 terpene synthase genes that contribute to diverse flavors in cannabis. The number is comparable to similar genes that play a role in grapevine flavor for the wine industry. The genes the researchers discovered play a role in producing natural products like limonene, myrcene, and pinene in the cannabis plants. These fragrant molecules are generally known in the industry as terpenes. One of the researchers says, limonene produces a lemon-like flavor. Myrcene produces the dank, earthy flavor like purple kush. They found a gene that produces the signature terpene of beta-carophyllene and others. So one of the things that's nice about this, being able to get some standardization, being able to know that when I finally do figure out the combination that works for me, that I find, let's say, Durban poison, and this particular Durban poison strain is at this level of myrcene and that level of limonene and this level of beta-carophyllene and this THC and this CBD, and be able to know what that kind of that fingerprint is, kind of that, you know, what is the template of strains that work for, of combination of terpenes that work for me, then as I start to investigate other strains, it's not so hit and miss. Right now, like, I might know that I like Durban poison, so let me find things that are kind of close to that, maybe to tweak this angle or that angle, but it's kind of hit and miss. You're guessing to some extent. Like, you may know a little bit about the plant's background and what its, you know, X cultivars are, so many, you know, so many generations past and so forth, but you might not, you don't really know. But once we identify all this genetic stuff, all, you know, what genes are for this terpene, that terpene, we'll have a much better roadmap to know where to go. Like, okay, so you found that this particular strain of Durban poison works well for you, and you say that your problem is, let's say, insomnia. This strain has, let's say, a myrcene of 1.3%. Here's another strain that's a very similar profile to Durban, but has a higher myrcene. Let's give that a try. right? You now you got a little more science involved in figuring out what direction you want to go with your sampling.
Leave us exit stage left.
All right, that sound means it's 4:20 here in the Pacific time zone. Time for us to take our union-mandated safety briefing. Let's hope that you're feeling quite safe out there. When we return, we ask, why sling pizza when you can sling weed? The unintended consequences of marijuana legalization on the service employment sector.
Get your tickets now for the Oregon Marijuana Business Conference, happening one day only in Eugene, Oregon on Friday, April 28th. You'll learn all about the latest OLCC regulations for adult use cannabis, including testing requirements, tech and branding, taxes and distribution, and the latest developments in medical marijuana regulations. OMBC features networking with Oregon's leading experts in marijuana, including State Senator Floyd Prezansky. You'll also get to hear from author, actor, and punk rock icon Henry Rollins delivering the keynote address. Early bird pricing is available for conference only and VIP passes, which gets you access to the VIP networking events featuring Henry Rollins and other speakers. It's the 2017 Oregon Marijuana Business Conference. Tickets available now at OregonMBC.com. That's OregonMBC.com before April 14th to get your early bird pricing. OregonMBC.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
I hope you were as much fun on that dais as you were on your couch.
Well.
Okay, well, maybe you're high, too. Warning. Hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they aim you. Say that.
Far out, man. I haven't seen a bong in years.
A public service message from the Russ Belville Show.
Most of us pirates, we go on vacation to North Dakota, you know, because they've got a town called Argusville. What are you smoking there, boy?
This is Dan Michaels from danmichaelsaudio.com, and you're listening to Radical Russ on cannabisradio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. 23 after the hour. I'm laughing because I was checking up my Twitter feed during break, and I made a post out there that I sent to Mike because we were joking. We're sitting here joking, and Tawny was talking about somebody she'd spoken to who was asking her about cannabis strands. You know, when people say strands, and they mean strains, but they say strands, like strands of hair or strands of thread. You meet people that do this, they say strands. I got a great strand of some jack hair, man. Like, what, a strand of thread off his shirt? What are you talking about? So, yeah, we were making this joke about people that say strands instead of strains. And I was listening to the replay of the Joe Schrank interview in the first hour where he said cannaboids. That's the other one that makes me laugh, is cannaboids. There was a cartoon back when I was a kid called the Herculoids. It always makes me think of that. The cannaboids fighting for truth and justice, right? So I sent a tweet out that said, irregardless which strands of marijuana have the most cannaboids in their trichromes anyway. Right? Like, ooh, there's like nails on a chalkboard. Irregardless which strands of marijuana have the most cannaboids in their trichromes. And I thought that was pretty clearly a sarcastic kind of tweet, right? Well, no. Leave it to the internet to prove that there are some people who are sarcasm impaired. I got this guy who replied to me, it strains, and some have up to 32% THC. Oh, yes, I know it strains. Some people are funny. All right, let's get back to the marijuana stories, because there's a great piece in the Denver Post's Cannabist, The Cannabist, Why sling pizza when you can sling weed? Denver restaurants face labor competition. Young workers who once saw employment opportunities in the restaurant business are flocking to grow facilities and dispensaries. Interesting, right? Something you hadn't thought about, but they bring up the point here. You know, of course, the weed industry is booming in Colorado. $1.1 billion in profit, $150 million in tax revenue just for 2016. So young workers, people that are just getting their first entry-level jobs that used to take busboy and waiter and cook and server and all that kind of stuff, are now moving into the marijuana industry. They're trimming. They get a who did they talk to here? Jennifer Jasinski. She's an alumnus of Wolfgang Puck, the famous chef. She's got a Denver restaurant empire. And she says, quote, cooks take trimming jobs and make $20 an hour. But it's not just that. Pastry chefs are in high demand in the pot world. Laced candies and gummy bears are sought after treats when they are made well, so pastry chefs and cooks can make them for 3 to 4 times the money a restaurant can pay. All this just exacerbates an already tight workforce in Denver. They spoke to Brian Dayton, who owns 3 popular restaurants in the area, says, quote, our workforce is being drained by the pot industry. There's a very small work pool as it is. Enter the weed business, which pays $22 an hour with full benefits. You can come to work in a kitchen for us for 8 hours a day in a hot kitchen. It's a stressful life. Or you can go sort weed in a climate-controlled greenhouse. It's a pretty obvious choice, end quote. They also say, of course, the alcohol sales are down. He says people are just taking an edible and then foregoing the shot of whiskey or the glass of wine. He says his alcohol sales are down about 2%. He compared notes with distributors and distillers, and they say their sales are also down about 2%. They just say there's no way that they can compete. The woman we mentioned, Jennifer Jasinski, she says her alcohol sales are declined 4%. And that's to the at the restaurant where she serves the youngest clientele. And they spoke to another restaurateur. Trying to find where this... Bobby Stuckey, who's a James Beard Award winner. And he says, quote, a line cook, it's not a highly paid position. A lot of work, a lot of hours, very intense. And you're having a bad week. It's hard not to quit for a grow facility where you're making several dollars an hour more. He also said there's no way to compete with the siren call of the pot industry. If you make 10% profit in the restaurant business, you are in the Hall of Fame as a great operator. Compare that to most other businesses and presumably the legal pot industry, where if you did 20% profit, you would be fired as the CEO. And this is the situation. The cannabis business has grown quickly. However, it's gotten to the point where there's so many producers competing with each other. They've got to compete for the talent. They got to compete for the workers. And they do so by providing better benefits, better wages. They spoke with Michael Leibowitz. He owns Veritas Fine Cannabis. It's a growing company. He says, quote, for the first 6 years, you could just put weed in a bag and sell it. Now supply has caught up and almost outstripped demand. We consider our brand to be high-end cannabis, and you need skilled workers to help achieve that, end quote. And his cultivators start at $20 an hour. So this is something, another one of the unintended consequences. When the marijuana industry comes in, when you legalize marijuana in your state, it leads to a decrease in the labor pool for the service industry. When that happens, the prices in the restaurants go up. The prices for services generally go up. The price of living generally goes up. We're finding that here in Portland. And especially when we talk about housing. You look in Colorado, in Denver, Colorado, or Portland, Oregon, or Seattle, Washington, and you're trying to find yourself an apartment, just an apartment, and you're not going to find anything under $1,000. it's just getting very expensive to live in these cities. Just like the tech boom went and made San Francisco just about unlivable for all but it, the tech workers, we are now seeing the pot boom in some of these cities, fueling the growth of house prices, the increase in rents, the increase in prices throughout the service industry, and other industries that just can't keep up, that can't compete with this. Unintended consequences of legalization. We find a boom in construction because of, you know, new brick and mortar places being put up for dispensaries or remodels happening for warehouses to be grow facilities and so forth. But the flip side of that is trying to find yourself any sort of industrial warehouse for your business if you're not a pot company. Trying to find industrial warehouse space in Denver these days is just about impossible. And when you do, it's much more expensive than you'd find in most other cities. Because all of these warehouses are getting bought up and rented out for growing cannabis. This is a type of a bubble economy, though. It's something that we are going to see a crash. I don't know how soon it's going to happen. I think it's going to take California coming online and really depressing the prices of cannabis for us to see the crash in, that's the pop of this bubble that's inevitable. Because all of this marijuana economy, all this, oh, it's the fastest growing industry, oh, it's doing so great, is once again based on artificially prohibition inflated prices. There is not this much money to be made in marijuana. There is this much money to be made in prohibition. And the more states come online with legality and legal production, the lower that wholesale price is going to become, the lower the cost of production is going to become. And when that happens, when we see the price of marijuana decrease to where it ought to be, $30 an ounce maybe, hell, $3 an ounce maybe. And we get down to that level, and this economy that's built on paying warehouse workers $20 an hour plus benefits of investors that are expecting 25% growth every year, of business owners who are expecting to be flush with cash and just making money hand over fist, that's eventually going to come to an end. That's going to eventually pop. There'll be some point at which enough states are legal and enough marijuana is being produced that that whole model comes tumbling down. And I don't know where it rebounds from that point. I don't know what happens after that, once we get to that point. The worry I have is a lot of states will start comparing the cost of their regulations and testing against the money they're bringing in from marijuana and recognize that it's not enough. They'll want to tax it even more. And that artificial inflation of the price of marijuana brings back the problems that we faced from prohibition, brings back more of the underground dealing, brings back more of the crime and all the stuff we were legalizing this to get away from. It's going to take some time. It's going to be full of fits and starts. It's going to be interesting to see how this turns out. I don't know. I know a lot of young people that are involved in the marijuana industry. I know if I were in one of these legal states as a young man, it would be tough to convince me to go work in a restaurant. That'd be really difficult to try to want to go get minimum wage and put up with people's crap when there's a trimming job waiting for $20 an hour plus benefits. Much rather get my fingers sticky. Sounds a whole lot easier, doesn't it?
But what strand would that be?
What strand would that be? My roommate is back, folks. Yes, what strand does have the most cannabinoids in its trichromes? We've got to find that out. Hey, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we've got some discussion of news from Ohio, where the governor there, John Kasich, former presidential candidate, doesn't think that marijuana has any place in helping to solve the opiate epidemic. We'll drop some science on him when we return.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
As a freshman member of the Oregon legislature, I was able to vote as my state was the first to decriminalize.
You can find Radical Russ online everywhere. Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that.
Bueller. Bueller. Bueller.
A public service message from the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Well, we got some news here from the state of Ohio. Governor John Kasich said Thursday he doesn't think Ohio's new medical marijuana program will help mitigate the state's opioid crisis, though recent studies indicate otherwise. That's the key. That is the lead sentence coming out of this report in the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Contradicting the governor right there in the first sentence. He doesn't think medical marijuana will help the opioid crisis, though recent studies indicate otherwise. That is, I don't know if you're reacting to it the same way I am, but that is a big deal that a mainstream newspaper felt it was so obvious that medical marijuana helps the opioid epidemic that it could openly contradict the governor of the state on the issue. Could call him out on his fake news. This happened at a news conference. There's a new law in Ohio that limits opioid prescriptions. And so the reporter was asking what role medical marijuana might help, might play in helping to reduce that. So the governor responded by telling kids not to do drugs, but that marijuana is okay, sends a mixed message. Oh, yes. The message we would send to the children if we told them that doing illegal drugs is wrong, but OxyContin is a medicine. Oops, I mean marijuana. Why, these guys that freak out, like the kids are so dumb they can't understand that there's a difference between drugs that are taken for recreation and drugs that are taken for medical purposes. They understand that every day. They understand that when they see the ads on TV for the Abilify and the Levitra and the Plavix and whatever the hell else. They know there's things called medicines. The mixed message you've got a problem with is the message that you're mixing, that some people that use marijuana are bad because of the reason they use it, and some people are good because of the reason they use it. The mixed message you can't handle is the idea of marijuana being both a medicine and a recreational substance, which is a false message. Marijuana is just marijuana. It doesn't matter why you're using it. When I'm sitting in a joint circle with a Vietnam veteran in a wheelchair and a Rastafarian, and we're passing that joint from one to another, when I'm holding the joint, it's not an illegal drug that suddenly transmogrifies into a medicine when it gets to the Vietnam vet, that suddenly transmogrifies into a sacrament when it's held by the Rastafarian, and that transmogrifies back to an illegal drug when it gets to me. It's the same damn joint. And it harms me or helps me to the same extent it harms or helps them.
It's either harmful or not. That's the key here. Now, we understand why we have an alcohol drinking age for kids, right? Because we believe, we come to understand that somebody younger than this certain age, all use of it is harmful to them. We've decided that, whether it's actually true or not is irrelevant in this discussion. We've decided that age is a determining factor as to whether or not alcohol is harmful. But not the reason you're drinking. We didn't determine that, drinking is okay if you're doing it at a wedding for a toast, but it's not okay if you're sitting in the alley drinking, two-buck chuck. No, two-buck chuck is legal. Champagne is legal. Beer is legal. Wine is legal. It doesn't matter why you're using it. You could be drinking a beer at the game to have fun. You could be drinking a case of beer at home to drown your sorrows. It doesn't matter. It's still legal. How you use it and whether or not you're using it harmfully or not doesn't enter into it. Doesn't enter into it at all. But somehow with marijuana it does. You have AIDS. Oh, well, then this marijuana is not harmful at all. Oh, you're just bored. I'm sorry. Marijuana is a harmful, dangerous drug. It makes no sense. So anyway, Kasich's got the problem with the mixed message. And he says, quote, referring to medical marijuana, quote, I know it's not recreational marijuana, not recreational use, but I don't see a role for it in this at all. Well, bullshit, Governor, because you aren't seeing the difference. He says that medical use is not recreational use, but it has no place in the opiate epidemic. The only reason he's saying that is because to him, the opiate epidemic is a problem of drug abuse, which is a problem of illegal drugs, which marijuana is an illegal drug. Even if they're using it medically, it confuses the issue. Like he said, mixed message. He's not looking at the science at all. He doesn't care at all whether this is a medical help for the opiate epidemic. He sees it as gateway drug, illegal drug. Drugs are bad. Okay. Now, the Cleveland Plain Dealer goes on to note that numerous studies have shown that opiate overdoses and deaths have decreased in states that allow medical marijuana, that marijuana can alleviate pain. And the most recent study, released Tuesday, found hospitalization rates for painkiller addiction and abuse dropped 23% on average in states after they allowed medical marijuana use. Hospitalization rates for overdoses dropped 13%. This was all in the Journal of Drug and Alcohol Dependence. Further researchers in Canada released a study in February that found 63% of its sample that's eligible for the medical marijuana program chose cannabis over prescription drugs, including opioids. Now, in each case, the researchers are clear to point out that marijuana doesn't solve the opiate epidemic, but that it should further be studied. And this is like, with the opiate thing, we are running into that same chuckle. And we got the chuckle from Jeff Sessions, right? Have you heard this? People are saying, for the opiate crisis, have you heard this? People are saying that marijuana could solve the opiate crisis. I mean, give me a break. Have you heard anything so stupid? That's the same level we're at right now in 2017 with medical marijuana and the opiate crisis as we were in 2009 with recreational legalization and the economy. Remember Barack Obama? Well, there's been some talk about we could use a marijuana legalization as a way to help our economy. I don't think that would be a good way to fix the economy. Remember him saying that? And he got the chuckle, he chuckled at it. I don't know what this says about the online community. Remember him saying that? A little joke about us, little shade. Wasn't laughing so much by the time 2015, 2016 rolled around and we'd racked up $200 million in tax revenue. But both of these suffered from the same fallacy of logic. This all or nothingism. I forget what the actual name of the fallacy is. It's got a Latin name, but it's this argument that you can only argue for, that you're only arguing for all or nothing, for the whole thing, black or white, right? that marijuana legalization will solve the economy, that medical marijuana will solve the opiate addiction crisis. No, neither of those things are true. But they'll sure will help, right? Legalizing marijuana does not solve your economic problems. The amount of tax revenue you get from marijuana as in relation to your state budget is a drop in the bucket. However, it's one more drop in the bucket than you were getting. It's more drops in the bucket than you got from prohibition. And likewise, the medical marijuana is not going to solve the opiate epidemic, but it's going to help. You're going to have fewer people dying. It's not going to keep everyone from dying, but you'll have fewer people dying. So why not make some progress here, Governor Kasich? For him not to recognize what these studies are beginning to show is just unconscionable. And Kasich, by the way, referring to medical marijuana, he also added, quote, "I don't like the whole thing, medical marijuana. It got passed because somebody was going to have a broader law," end quote. And what he's referring to, he's referring to the fact that the Ohio legislature passed its limited medical cannabinoid law because MPP, Marijuana Policy Project, was there in Ohio, and they were going to put together an initiative that allowed people to home grow, allowed them to actually have smokable cannabis, smokable marijuana. And so the Ohio legislature undercut them by passing this watered down medical marijuana light thing to get MPP to drop their initiative, which they did. So Kasich's even saying that, well, we only have medical marijuana because we had to take this or it'd be something worse. So he's not even giving any credence to the people who are being helped, the people whose lives are improved by the current limited medical cannabinoid program they've got there, where you cannot get, you can't grow your own, you cannot get any marijuana. That's why I don't call it a medical marijuana state. As far as I'm concerned, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, Minnesota, these are not medical marijuana states. If I can't get marijuana in my hand as a patient, if I cannot have a bud of marijuana, the dried flowering tops of cannabis plants prepared for smoking, usually seedless, if I can't get that plant material in my hand and smoke it, it's not a medical marijuana state, because that's what marijuana is. It's a medical cannabis state. It's a medical cannabinoid state. I can get cannabis oils. I can get sprays. I can get tinctures. I can get edibles. Then you're allowing me to have medical cannabinoids. You're not allowing me to have medical marijuana. But there is some good news. I was doing some updates in Virginia. They went and passed that, Terry McAuliffe, the governor there, passed the law that is going to begin the production of THC oil or CBD oil in Virginia. And this is big news because we've talked about these CBD oil states, like all of the 11 states of the Old South have these CBD oil laws. And also some of the Midwest, Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri, Ohio, Iowa, Wisconsin, Wyoming, and Utah. They all have these CBD laws. But there are all these laws that allow you to possess it if you got it from somewhere else, right? Like in Iowa, you can have CBD oil. Okay, where do I get it? Well, we don't know. But if you find it somewhere, you can have it. Well, this means all these people are like breaking federal law by going to Colorado or some other place and getting the oil and then bringing it back. That's breaking trafficking laws, right? Well, finally, some of these states are figuring this out. So Virginia is one of them. Virginia, Missouri, and Texas are the three of these CBD states now that are going to start allowing for the production of cannabidiol oil within the state. So this is a part of my Marijuana States of America map, and I'm updating the map. We'll get this put up online shortly. I'm updating it for April of 2017 because now we'll have three states where people can buy cannabidiol. I've also changed the rating on Nevada. I've made it a state like Washington State where adults can buy, but only patients can home grow. As far as I'm concerned, if you've got a 25-mile halo rule on my right to grow cannabis, then I don't have the right to grow cannabis. It's a privilege, so not everybody has it. Basically, my map has different shades for all the different types of medical marijuana and regular marijuana laws. And I'll have that online on my @RadicalRuss on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest later tonight.
We're back in just a couple of minutes to wind things up. Stick around.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
As someone who is a social worker, I think we really must look at the way we're handling marijuana in this country.
You can find Radical Russ online everywhere. Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they aim you. Say that.
I smelled some marijuana smoke in Vietnam!
A public service message from the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's 52 after the hour as we wind things up here in beautiful legal potland, Oregon. Got a piece out in Leafly, Leafly.com. Which cannabis conferences are beneficial to your business? And great article, because it has as its featured image Henry Rollins from the last International Cannabis Business Conference in San Francisco. Henry Rollins will be the keynote speaker at the Oregon Marijuana Business Conference taking place on April 28th. I'll be there streaming live, and we're hoping to get Henry Rollins on the show for that episode. It'll be a lot of fun. But it's good to know that Leafly is promoting the ICBC and its sister organization, the OMBC, in this article of which cannabis conferences are beneficial to your business, because there are a lot of these cannabis business conferences. So some of the ones they list include the Marijuana Business Conference in Las Vegas, MJ Biz Conference. Now, this is the only big business conference I've not yet been to. Both times that I've had the chance to go to Vegas, there's been some other event that's taken me away from it. So I haven't yet been to that one. I've heard great things. The NCIA Cannabis Business Summit. That's the one that's in Oakland. It's happening June 12th through the 14th this year. I will be there streaming live from the NCIA Cannabis Business Summit. Then there's the aforementioned International Cannabis Business Conference taking place in Germany, in Berlin, coming up April 12th and 13th. I was going to be there, but they couldn't afford to fly me out for it. So, damn it, maybe next year. They also mentioned the New West Summit, Dispensary Next, and the Lyft Cannabis Expo. That's one in Canada. But I'm just glad to see that the ICBC made the list. I agree that it's one of the best cannabis conferences out there. Also in the news, there's a piece in CNN Money about Las Vegas and marijuana legalization. It's entitled "The Sin That's Not Welcome in Sin City." And they bring out the point that while marijuana has been legalized, you're not going to see any dispensaries, any retail cannabis shops on the Vegas Strip. And the way they're explaining it is that the zoning regulations in Clark County, it's not Las Vegas. The Las Vegas Strip is part of Clark County, but it's not part of Las Vegas, the city. So, in the Strip, it's legal to be walking around with open containers of alcohol, but you can't advertise strip clubs. I mean, you can't have strip clubs on Las Vegas Strip. They're out in other locations. Brothels are way out in the desert. They're outside of Clark County because the prostitution is not allowed in Clark County or Washoe County, the counties that house Las Vegas and house Reno. But also, the Clark County dispensaries can't be anywhere near a casino. So in Clark County on the Strip, of course, the Strip is all casinos. So all your dispensaries are going to be off the Strip like two, three blocks, right? You're going to have to go behind and around and back. And they've got some of them. I mean, they got the medical ones now, and these medical ones are the ones that are going to be first crack at being the recreational ones. So you're not going to see green crosses and pot leaves on the Strip itself. You're going to have to go a few blocks off. Also, when it comes to investing, you can't invest in both. You can't invest in a casino and a dispensary. You can either invest in gaming or you can invest in marijuana. And keep in mind that the public toking penalty under the Nevada law is pretty huge. It's a $600 fine for public toking, and it's a misdemeanor. You're not going to get jail time, but it's a misdemeanor. So you get a criminal record if you're caught toking out there on the Las Vegas Strip. So this is something that I think is going to catch some people at first. Now, they're planning on having their recreational industry in Nevada up and running on July 1st. The goal is to be up and running July 1st, which should make a very fun 4th of July weekend in Nevada. But I think at first we're going to get some people caught not knowing about this public toking misdemeanor and not being cognizant of, you know, that while it's legal, it's not accepted. It's not promoted like alcohol is in Nevada. You're not going to be able to walk around with open, you know, joints like you can walk around with an open container. All right, last minute, one final story. Coming out of CBS Miami, mother arrested after teen passes out pot candy in school. Coconut Creek area, the police there say a woman had a box of gummy candies laced with marijuana in the refrigerator of her home. Her daughter grabbed a handful of them and started selling them for $10 each at the middle school. At least one student got sick after ingesting them. According to the arrest report, the student got ill, told on the friend, and the mom said that the friend and other students said that the mom had a large box full of the gummies at her residence. Police went to the home and found a box with more than 80 of the gummies inside. Detectives wrote in the arrest report, she immediately began yelling at her daughter, "Look what you did. You brought these cops into my house. You thought you were going to make some money?" And that she, quote, "messed everything up," end quote. Oh, man. Well, you got to lock up your stuff, people. And again, I always have to give this disclaimer. I have no kids that I'm aware of. I've never been a father of teenagers. But you got to lock your shit up. You can't just have the bag of medicated gummy bears sitting in your fridge. I'm sorry. You've got to lock your shit up. Stories like this are what Kevin Samet lives for. Now he's going to be spraying it all over Florida. See, we got medical marijuana in Florida, and look what happens. Gummy bears in the schools. Oh, my God. Well, that's all the time we got for today. Thanks for joining us. It's been a lot of fun. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and views you can use for the cannabis community. We'll have ourselves a great Friday show. And on Monday, we'll have some more details for you about the future of this show and some great improvements you have to look forward to. For everyone here at Delta 9 House and Studios, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. Yeah. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. Yeah.
thing of seed. You plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.
You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
I don't drink, I don't smoke pot, but I drink and I smoke pot. And I will tell you that there is a huge difference between marijuana and alcohol.
You can find Radical Russ online everywhere.